I've got Royce Lovett here in studio from an earlier conversation. He's going to talk about his career and some of his great music. So I think that'll help. And then in the second hour, Tim Center, he is the CEO for the Capital Area Community Action Agency, talking about the war on poverty. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Hello, my friend. Glad to have you back with me on this occasion when we will have Royce Lovett in studio here momentarily now, given the restrictions laid upon us and all of the CDC guidelines and such regarding distancing. It's difficult to bring folks to the studio. Anyway, here we are with this fine radio program we call Tallahassee Talks. Glad you're a part of it. And if you're a first-time listener, let me take you through the drill real quickly. We do archive all of the shows for you, or you can subscribe to the download of the podcast, simply enough. If you go to TallahasseeTalks.com, all of that is available for you, along with updates on the show for the week and the guests that we'll be bringing to you. And so it is. That is our practice. And if you go looking for a particular show, you can actually search by the name of the person who was on the show or by the topic. And if you have any difficulty with that, you should email us. Simple enough. Or if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, that email address is topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Been on the air 11 years, we have. And Carl has the scars to prove it, don't you? Yes, he does. In fact, now he's trying to get more tattoos to cover up the scars. No, I'm just kidding. But that might be. Who knows? Could happen. But don't worry. Carl's safely, protected. Glass wall and closed off from the world back in his control room there. So that's good. So whatever, contagion or disease he may contract, it's going to be his own stuff. Because nobody else goes in there of any real consequence, nor most often. It is definitely his domain. And thank goodness, because that's a guy who can make magic. You give him a little grist for the mill, a few conversations here and there, and he'll sprinkle his magic dust over it, and whammo. So we're on the air now all of these many years and reaching out to so many of you, so many people we've had the good fortune of being able to talk to, including Royce Lovett. And not too many of us, I think, would have escaped the idea that he was a contestant on The Voice last year. Man, it seems like a century ago, doesn't it? And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him back on the show with this prior conversation that we we had back after his return. It was a pretty remarkable thing. Talks about his growth as an artist, his music, his groundedness, where he finds room for and basis for the music that he brings us, his family values, the religious anchoring that he has, his Christian faith. It's a lot of good feel-good radio in that, and we're going to have some of his music for you. He brought his guitar with him on that occasion, so we'll get to hear a recording that Carl did for us here right in the studio. By the way, we are coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, highly celebrated for its unique place in the world. This is the only station bringing you all Tallahassee musicians playing their original songs all the time, 24/7. MooseMagnificat.com, streaming live from the studios here in Tallahassee. And a pleasure to be able to bring that to you because, in fact, Tallahassee's music community is replete with amazing music, amazing artists, great songwriters, bands, performers of various kinds, all kinds of music too, stylistically. I mean, my goodness, everything from classical music to hip-hop and back again, pop, jazz, blues, it just boggles the mind. At least it does mine, but then my mind is easily boggled. So there you go, MooseMagnificat.com. Listeners around the world, and we know that because the software for the station tells us where they're located. Russia, Australia, let's see, Ireland, Germany, and yes, the United States of America. About 98% of the audience is domestic. And of that, most of it is within the region, as you might appreciate, a lot of people in the area. And musicians that have begun here, but now having relocated, are still part of this whole scene. And it's a pleasure. So we're coming to you from the studios of the aforementioned Moose Magnificat with great anticipation for today's show, with a couple of announcements here for you. Speaking of music, our good friends that now reside in Nashville, Boo Radley and good old Michael and Patty up there. So they were kind enough to send out a quick newsletter for some of us who subscribe, and had this back maybe a week or two ago. Anyway, so they were kind enough to give us an update on their progress. They're doing well, although missing family and friends back this way. But if you're a Boo Radley fan, you don't need me to tell you. If you're not, you can find it out for yourself. BooRadleyStuff.com is a good place to go, where you can have an online store. You can buy T-shirts and CDs and tote bags, all kind of neat stuff. And they are doing quite well in terms of the proliferation of their music, and they are now licensed with a music licensing company, so that's good, because as their music gets used commercially, then they are paid royalties for that, and appropriately so. So that's all good stuff, isn't it? Good friends, Boo Radley, Michael, and Patty. God bless you guys. If you're listening, we know that you are well along your way to greater things, bigger and better. Certainly our prayers for your family. Here's another announcement. Let's see. This comes by way of Leon County Emergency Management, and them talking about the extension of the COVID-19 testing site that continues through the 15th. So that's the latest news there. They may continue if the traffic to the testing center continues. So as it's warranted, it sounds like they're going to continue to extend that as much as they need to. Additional testing options are made available there in Tallahassee, Leon County area. Testing capacities are increasing. Florida A&M Bragg Memorial Stadium, as I mentioned. Patients First, CVS Pharmacy, Tallahassee Memorial Transition Center,
Bond Community Health Center, Capital Health Plan, and Neighborhood Medical Center. All of these are locations where, if you are interested, you can secure your COVID-19 test. Florida Department of Financial Services has announced a MoneyWise Florida program to provide financial information to residents. It's a statewide public education initiative designed to provide practical advice to millions of Floridians on topics ranging from getting out of debt, securing a mortgage, or saving for a child's college education. So there you go. Information that you can use and news that you need to know, all courtesy of Leon County Emergency Management and your good friends here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to another portion of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks. Your friend in the room when it comes to learning about the good things that Tallahassee is, has, and will be, including our friends Tim Center and Royce Lovett. They're showcased here in today's show. Here's an announcement from Leon County Government. Hurricane season officially began June 1st. Yep. And the City of Tallahassee, other local partners remind the public to be prepared. And we might add to that, stay prepared throughout the year, but particularly during hurricane season for the possibility of a severe storm, thunderstorm, hurricane. All of that comes to bear when you're concerned with how you best prepare your family, your business for those circumstances. And, we dodged a bullet last year, Commissioner DeLoge pointing out that we were fortunate enough that Hurricane Dorian was slow moving. It was devastating. It reshaped the Bahamas, but did not make its way here. While our community, he says, has been tested like never before between past storms, the current public health emergency now is the time to stay resilient and be prepared. We are in that process by reminding you of something that we have done now for several years. We call it Tallahassee Prepared, and you'll find it online, TallahasseePrepared.com, an information resource that pulls together city, county, state information sources, the Red Cross, provides you a resource among a group of local businesses that can provide you services. If you need to fix something at your house, if you need drainage issues solved, if you need fire protection, smoke alarms. I mean, let's talk about what happens in a severe thunderstorm. Lightning strikes, hits the top of the house, you're asleep, it's late at night. Your smoke alarms are in your bedroom or your living room, right? Except the fire's up in the attic. Okay, so the folks with Tallahassee Prepared will say, and this is courtesy of Tallahassee Fire Department, don't forget about your attic. Yeah, so put a smoke alarm or two up in the attic so that it would be sufficient enough warning that once you call the fire department to come put out the fire in your attic, it's not too late. It hasn't just, you know, worked its way past the attic until it's set ablaze the rest of the house. And of course, your smoke alarms in your bedrooms by that time, yeah, they're letting you know, by the way, there's a fire, except in your case, sorry, pal. Yeah, too late. So don't do that. Be prepared throughout the year. And that's why Tallahassee Prepared was created. It gives you and I a chance to pull together a plan of action. Make sure you have the kinds of resources you need. Simple stuff, you know, that you can have on hand. And the county is great about this. They have their buckets that they give out every year. Well, they're doing that again this year. And so it happens. Our good friend over there, Kevin Peters, he is the director for Leon County Emergency Management and does a fine job of making sure that we are not only informed, but then have available to us the resources we need in the form of personal preparedness. Anyway, we're going to leave you with that thought. You can find out more if you'll go to TallahasseePrepared.com. You'll find it useful, and it's something that you should keep handy throughout the year. It's why we say staying prepared is more than a season. It's really an attitude. And we're glad to be a part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, one of the sponsors there for Tallahassee Prepared. In addition to that kind of preparedness, there are those resources available to you in the way of food supplies, food charities around the community that work diligently to try to supply those of us who find ourselves on the short end. And listen, man, if you're out of work and you had a great job going and all of a sudden the bills come crashing down and you're looking around the room for some help, typically, and I mean, I know a lot of you, this is not something you're used to doing, of finding yourself in need of assistance. You know, and some of you have never been on any kind of assistance program in your life. You've been the guy or the gal that's been giving to others. Well, I get it. And from personal experience, I can tell you, back when our kids were little, exactly that same thing happened to me. Lost my job, company went under. Yeah, by that time, three kids, a wife, and a mortgage. Yeah, and it was a different time. Mortgage company gave us deferment. Some are doing that now in relation to the shutdown and all, but many did not. And it's happened that we were fortunate enough to be among those that were doing business with this one particular savings and loan mortgage company. In any case, our neighbors helped. And we were able to secure assistance, public assistance, through a food stamps program. And, you know, it worked. It worked in the way that it's intended to work. And I bring it up at this moment because we're going to find out here in the second hour of the show how much those programs have done well for some, but not as well for others. And Tim Sender is going to talk with us about that at length. It all came about as part of the War on Poverty back in the 60s. President Johnson was able to pass his Great Society legislation, and the War on Poverty was one component of that. There's about a dozen or so. In fact, that's where Medicare and Medicaid came from. All came out of that particular period of time in that particular bank of legislation. Head Start, education reform, urban renewal, the support for arts and humanities. That was in September of 65 when Johnson signed the National Foundation on the Arts and Humanities Act. Environmental initiatives began. A lot of good came out of that legislation, but we have here 55 years later the question remaining: how is it that so many, even in Leon County, remain entrenched in poverty? And we talk about it a lot on this show, and it's talked about a lot among business owners and community leaders for years. How is it that we have a population within our own community that finds itself sort of stranded, as if they're somehow on this island of despair? How is it that these programs designed to bring them up out of that situation, frankly, have failed in many respects? And I'm not the one saying that. You're going to hear Tim Sender talk about the War on Poverty as it was first initiated has not worked. In his words, we've lost the war. Well, in a time when poverty and racial issues are front and center, it bears our effort. It is important that we refocus our attention on the same very, very similar or very same questions that we were asking those 55 years ago. How do we move the needle? Not for a few people. How do we restructure ourselves as communities? And it's going to happen community by community. In such a way that more and more people are able to find themselves coming up out of that entrenched environment. You stay with me.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, I've got Royce Lovett. He's brought his axe with him, I believe, and we're going to have some music out of this guy. You know, you can't just walk in here and start talking, Royce. You got to work, baby.
Yes, I'm happy to.
And I know you got some new stuff coming at us. You've just where you been? You've been doing shows around the country. I mean, tell us about kind of the most recent stuff.
I've been setting goals and hitting them. Individual, career, family, just really setting goals, and it's been great.
It's not easy to do, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, I talked to Danny Bedrosian, and you know, he's gone, golly, 250 days a year. He's on tour out there with George Flint, and he's got a wife, little girl, and all this kind of stuff. That's a challenge. How old is your baby?
My youngest just turned 2.
Yeah,
and he is in school. We never put our oldest in school this soon. He's in school, and my oldest is 6.
Wow.
And it is hard, definitely, especially the way we value family. And you can see the way we value family in my kids when I leave. Yeah. It is really hard. But yes, I've been playing a lot on the road. I've been playing. One of my goals was to play places that I haven't been.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing a lot of meeting a lot of new people, sharing music with new people.
Cool.
Really getting on the business side of some things and hitting those analytic cities. And they see something and they're like, oh, I see something with that. I'm not really sure what I see, but I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And then when you say, okay, well, this is what you saw and I made it and it sounds great, let's do something. Sometimes it's hard for someone that might not be a trailblazer to just get out there and say, this is the box I'm going to put this in. Or maybe, can we get a few boxes? Can we make a new box? You know, like, what exactly can we do with this refreshing music that made me love it when I heard it?
It's interesting how that works, too, because the record companies then drive the formats for radio stations around
completely.
The country.
Yeah.
When we put Moose together, Moose Magnificat, our mission was so broad. Mm-hmm. We said we'll play anybody as long as we can identify them within the community. So this was the only categorization that we looked at was, hey man, if you're coming up from among our ranks, you're in.
Yeah.
Certainly your music is there in formidable fashion, and it's a pleasure.
I appreciate that too.
We love it. Our listeners love it. What we find is that, again, you sort of defy categorization.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're okay with that, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if I try to get you airplay on a local radio station, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, you really need a foot in the door, like a champion that already has a foot in the door to say, I know this isn't adult contemporary that you're used to, but it is. Play it. People are going to like it. You know?
Right.
And I know this isn't soul that you're used to, but it is. Play it. People are going to like it.
Yeah.
For instance, like, you know, folks had a huge problem with Beyonce making a country record and trying for a pop, soul, hip hop, pop artist
yep.
to make a country record, and then for the label to take it to country.
Indeed.
You know, it was an interesting battle to see on social media and yeah. to hear yeah. amongst the ranks.
Yeah.
And I think huh. that, you know, you run into those things. For instance, things are really segregated too. For instance, Toby Mac in the Christian world, you know, Toby Mac mm-hmm. and Kirk Franklin making a record together, but then when you hear it on the radio, mm-hmm. Kirk Franklin's verse is no longer on it. And so it is a weird, segregated, musically mm-hmm. hues and, you know, just market, you know,
which really translates into the capitalization of the
yeah.
the, you know, the monetization of yeah. what it is that you produce, so that I can make more money off of you.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just talk about it.
Yeah, it's. I read something yesterday, and I even brought that up now because I don't remember the quote, but mm-hmm. it was just kind of just talking about how, you know, music is such a $1 billion industry,
yeah. Yeah.
but the artists who make the music get like, I think it was like a 0.1%.
Yeah, it's a classic, you know? Tale. It is. It is this constant
that's
contest.
Why you do it for the love,
you
I guess.
You got to, man.
You know, I do
you
it because
I love to.
It.
And too many have gone before you that have been eaten up by it. And then I think of Ray Charles when he decided to do country music and his fans just rebelled. Or you know, Bob Dylan decided to
mm-hmm.
you know, go electronic or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he went from being the unplugged folk singer.
Yeah. We got to grow. Like you,
it happens, doesn't it?
I love it.
I hope it does.
You got to grow.
Let's take some time. We're going to have you play a tune for us. What have you got? What are you going to do for us?
I have been, you know, I normally don't do this, like play new stuff.
Yeah.
On
just on the fly.
But I've been working with
that's
because
you love us
stuff.
So much.
Yes. And so I actually came here with intentions, like I could play something new yeah. or old, but yeah, I've been doing a lot of writing. And I got some songs on my mind right now.
We have one of the world's best producers sitting right across from
yes.
us here in that control room. So
if I play something new,
If
I play something new, would it be possible that some folks can give me some feedback some kind of way?
I'm sure that we can get at least two or three people
okay.
to tell you. I mean, we never have problems around here with people not sharing their opinions.
Okay.
We'll be cool with that.
All right,
well, let's take a moment. What's the song called?
I don't really have a name yet, but we can call it Playing Myself.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let's take it. We're going to listen to Royce Lovett with this new tune, Playing Myself.
Yeah. Spending all my time on a man's 9 to 5, just for a check that leaves when it arrives. Spending all my time putting mileage on this car, but without you, baby, we ain't going too far. I've been playing myself, I've been playing myself. Spending all my time with someone else when I want you. Without you. wanna spend all my time with you. I wanna give you all my money too. I want you to be my girl, so we can see the world, girl. I've been playing myself, I've been playing myself, spending all my time with someone else.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you are just now joining us, well, shame on you. You've missed a great opportunity to get to know Royce Lovett here, who has blessed us with one of his fresh, I mean, it's not even cut yet. It's just right out of the man's soul, the yes. song that we have temporarily dubbed Playing Myself.
Yes.
So, okay, so if you missed that, well, you're going to have to go back and grab it off our website and listen to it there, or maybe you can listen to it tonight. We're on tonight on Moose Magnificat at 9:30. I hear a lot of folks say the mm-hmm. internal struggle.
Yeah.
Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm just being stupid. I'm hanging on to something that, you know, just won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pushes back. You wrestle that way with
it? Yeah, I think every artist at some point has wrestled with that or is still wrestling with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've definitely thought that closer to the point of signing. You know, just thinking, yo, I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, what's going to pop? What's going on? Like, you know.
Who defines your success?
Exactly.
Who defines what is successful? Right?
Exactly. That's the big question, is who defines success? And that's one thing that I've learned so much after making Love and Other Dreams. Just the success that it was and still is, how it's impacting people.
I wonder if that success, as we've been taught it to us, really has to do with somebody else making money off of your work. You know, that's when it all of a sudden becomes successful, because somebody else has you out there doing 200 dates a year and mm-hmm. making all that money for themselves.
Yeah. But you really got to redefine, like, your stance on life, your true north, you know what I mean? Like, and I had to do that a little bit last year, too, just because, you know, there was times I was like, man, like, I want to be making these dollars with this record.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's just because of certain things didn't line up, it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm kicked right again, you know, and I have to say, like, dang, mm-hmm. you know, something is really happening here when people walk up. Or, you know, I had a guy walk up to me and he was like, yo, like, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because we had a family reunion. Yeah, he was like, we had a family reunion last weekend, and the young folks wanted to play some trap and the older folks wanted to play something else, and nobody could make a decision. And then my 16-year-old daughter put your CD in and everybody was happy. And stuff
cool.
like that just makes me say, you're where you need
mm-hmm.
to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to, like, encourage me.
And the challenge is, you're still a real guy. You're a dad. You're a husband.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do what all that means,
mm-hmm.
you know, take care of the home front.
Mm-hmm.
And the money is a part of that.
It
can be a big part of that.
Yeah, so both ways.
Like, you know, okay, how do I,
mm-hmm.
how do I keep saying, honey, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
And like redefining that.
Yeah, she's pretty supportive.
She is. She's been supportive day one. Like, you guys listening would not have pressed albums unless it was her.
It was her doing.
You would not have tours unless it was like, yeah, go tour. You would not have Royce full time if my wife didn't say, quit your job and do it.
I interrupted you. You started to say redefine.
Oh yeah, we definitely got to redefine, which me and her have, what success is to us, you know, to and success to me is being able to leave here on empty.
Yeah.
And if I can leave here knowing that I fathered, you know, knowing that I husband, knowing that I was a community leader, knowing that I made great tunes.
You left it all on the table, we'd say, or out on the field or whatever.
Yeah.
You gave everything you had.
Yeah. And like, for instance, like, you know, we just closed on our first home. Wow. And that was a goal of ours.
That's a big deal.
And that just hits home so much, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, wow, you know, I'm sitting here being ungrateful because I'm looking at, you know, Jay-Z and Kendrick. And I'm like, man, I want that. Which, you know, everybody probably does want that level of financial security. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, wow, I'm being so ungrateful right now when we're closing, when our kids are learning and growing and a part of the community. And I'm living the dream. Like, the dream is to... The dream is to be able to live and give and dream and create.
Yeah.
And I'm living that dream. But, you know, there's this this book I read, The Alchemist, and this dude was trying to find the answer to life. And he said, hey, if you go to this wealthy traveler's home, he'll know the answer to it. So he went to the guy's house, and then he found him and said, hey, I need the answer to life, or some question. And the wealthy traveler said, cool, I got something I got to do. Take this cup of water, try not to spill it, walk around the house, see it, and I'll meet you in an hour or two. The guy comes back, hour or two, he says, hey, I'm ready to ask you that question. And he says, okay, cool, but first, what was your favorite part of the house? And the guy was like, oh, I actually didn't really notice any of it because I was trying not to spill the water. And I was just like, man, that is exactly what so much of us are trying to do. We're living life, trying not to spill the water, and we're missing, like, the beautiful things in our family and our children and our parents and in our communities and in our people. And there's ways that we could be interacting and giving and connecting and serving the underserved and teaching those who are overserved, you know, how to all connect together. You know, and I think that is exactly what I want to do and how I want to live my life.
There's a lot of that overserved going on these days.
Yeah.
People kind of sitting back and just sucking it all in.
Yeah.
And thinking, how do we reach a generation of people who have lived in abundance? They've just never wanted as a population. I'm not saying there isn't want for families within any generation, but we live at a time of prosperity relatively, and scarcity is not our biggest challenge. So your music seems to cut to the heart of that, because even this song you brought us today talks about the priorities there. You know, I've been playing myself. I want to play this. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
And I want God to be the center of my focus and my attention.
Yeah. I've been spending all my time on the road. I've been spending all my time, you know, locked away doing whatever, or in a 9-to-5, or spending all my time on Instagram searching for these likes, you know. You know, right. I'm a great father on Instagram. I'm an awesome husband on Instagram, right. You know.
But just don't ask my kids.
Yeah.
I get that.
And, and really, you're playing yourself, you know, like that, you know, that's not what it's about, you know. And I commend those, you know, those heroes. You know, my elders have become such a hero to me, such a hero. Like my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents.
You got a great family. I've met some of that.
Yeah,
extended family.
I appreciate that.
When we were at Northside Stage together, great opportunity, folks. Royce Lovett, our guest. He's He's got it going on. In our minds, he's a great success, and by all accounts, a great husband and a great dad, too.
I appreciate that.
You need
that.
To get to know this guy. Next time he's in a neighborhood close to you, go see Royce Lovett, be a part of the music, be a part of the experience. I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks, brother. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
A pleasure, always.
From an earlier conversation we've had with this wonderful artist, Royce Lovett, Tallahassee's very own, so proud of his accomplishments and a great way of recalling the things that matter most in this world, especially at a time like this. You stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your very favorite, most desirable radio show that you love so very much. Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be able to be a part of your day or your morning or your afternoon. Recall that we are simulcast Saturday mornings with our good friends over there at Real Talk 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. John Jopling does such a good job for us over there, and all the other players and folks that make that happen. It's a great company. And then again, we are broadcast on Moose Magnificat, the one, the only radio station playing all of Tallahassee's local musicians. I say all, at least all the ones we've been able to get our hands on. There's about 600 of them. And we keep getting more every day, courtesy of the very good folks over there at COCA have stepped up and said, hey, we want to help you. We like what you're doing. If you don't know about COCA, it's the Council on Culture and the Arts, funded by Tallahassee and Leon County, a combined effort to promote such things. And they like the whole Sound of Tallahassee initiative. That's our slogan, the Sound of Tallahassee. And we've said, well, you know, we like that. And our good friend Scott Bell with Cat Family Records, he's part of this whole effort to better showcase what Tallahassee's sound is really all about. And when you think about it, you know, New Orleans, known for its jazz, and maybe, Chicago for its blues. Is that right? St. Louis blues. San Francisco for its folk music, maybe. Chicago, did we say Chicago? Detroit, definitely the Motown sound. Or Nashville. Yeah, and Memphis. So every community seems to have a kind of signature sound. Well, here we are with Moose Magnificat bringing you that. And in doing so, it's our pleasure to be able to say that we are the curators. We're the ones that make sure that all comes together, those fine people who run Moose Magnificat. And And Scott Bell with Cat Family Records, well, he's back there in the kitchen, so to speak. He's the guy bringing to his studio those artists that are looking to move forward in their career. And so he's creating these marvelous works. And then we're out front in, you know, the dining room making sure everybody gets served. Now we've got COCA out on the street corner with their handheld signs and balloons saying, hey, come take a listen to the sound of Tallahassee. Isn't that cool? Anyway, so with that in mind, we'll encourage you to stay tuned for more as we go forward here in the next few minutes. I've got Tim Center with you on this occasion from a conversation I had back in 2014, 6 years ago. And Tim, as you know quite well, I'm sure, if you don't, you need to, he is the CEO for the Capital Area Community Action Agency. Now, the community action agencies are replete. They're all over the country. And they were created back during the Johnson administration. Yeah, we're talking about mid-60s, when in fact the Great Society legislation, which was ambitious in its series of policy initiatives, was passed. And one of those nine components called the War on Poverty. Tim Center sat down with us now these many years ago to say that this agency, Capital Area Community Action Agency for Tallahassee, was created as a outgrowth of that War on Poverty legislation. The notion being that if we simply give people who are disadvantaged opportunity, we give them the kind of support they need financially, we give them the kind of resources they need in terms of child care and education and food and all those kinds of things, well, by golly, you're going to see, you know, an improvement for a whole sector of society. And so that all happened back in March of 64. Well, the problem has remained. And so these 55 years later, the challenges being faced by people in that same sector of our population are struggling. And no less so here than in Leon County, when you find that nationwide, Leon County ranks number one in income entrenchment. What does that mean? It means that if you were born in Leon County, your chances of making more money in the county, if you should choose to reside here, are the least likely. Yeah, if you're thinking that you're born into Leon County as it is, your chances of making more money than your parents are the least likely in the country. So it has been for a number of decades, and it's remained, and we're looking at why that's happened even on a national scale. And unfortunately, of course, the overlap of race and poverty, in my opinion, blurs the lines. So there's no question about the fact that we are victims, all of us, of racial prejudice. And when I say that, we don't necessarily bear the direct attack. I've worked with people who shockingly have said things to me that were racially biased, that were prejudicial, that were discriminatory. And growing up in Seattle, yeah, I saw some of it there, but nothing like what I discovered in Tallahassee when I moved here, you know, some 40 years ago. And so it happens that there are people individually who themselves are victims of racist thinking. There is another manner in which racism is expressed, and that is what you hear referred to as systemic. Sometimes it's called structural racism. And that really just has to do with the inability or the inconvenience of social institutions providing for certain sectors of the population, and in so doing, deciding that it's based upon race. Well, in some cases, I think that is true, but I also think that poverty cuts against that. So in other words, if you're going to help somebody overcome this entrenchment that they've endured now for generations, if you're going to move people up out of that situation, you have to look past, in your own way, the racial component. You have to simply look at poverty for poverty's sake, and you look at the lack of education for its own sake. That's what Tim Center is going to talk to you about in this next couple of segments of the show. And he's going to talk to you about the amazing results, the satisfying results, when people completed the programs that they've instituted under Tim's tutelage. I think what we have in this community are people who are that sensitive, that in tune with the subtleties of making real change. Some of them are some of our elected officials. Some of them work within some of these community agencies, like Tim Center. And some of them are people just like you.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WhiddonGlass.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So here we have Tim Center talking with us from now 6 years ago, back in 2014. His role as CEO with the Capital Area Community Action Agency. I think you'll find this quite informative.
Well, and with that, we'll talk about some of the action that this here agency does with all the various programs and the people they serve. Now, we've talked at length before. Tim's been on the show, of course, and one of our faves, and he has done a good job, I think, in helping us get a grasp of some of that. And I remember particularly when you arrived on the scene, the first question, or one of the first questions was, what sort of research-based, outcome-based programs do we have in place?
Right.
And the question, or the answer was, right. Not much.
50 years of fighting poverty and the Great Society effort, and we really don't have a lot to show for it in terms of proven programs by themselves.
Yeah.
There's been some great successes, but it's just nothing out there. And when we found one of them that has worked really well.
And you have, and in that way, you've been able to directly tap into the lives of people who otherwise find themselves disenfranchised and sort of not knowing what to do.
That's right. You know, our getting ahead in a just getting by world, not our program, but it's a program that we've brought into the community. And now we've gone through three waves of the class. It's about 3 months long, 2 hours each week with a group of folks who sit around a table working through a workbook together, having conversations, not a lecture process.
Right.
And the difference is night and day from the beginning of the program to the end of the program with these folks who sit there at the beginning of the day and of the program will say, if you were to ask them, you know, what do you need? Mm-hmm. They might say, I need a job. And that's about all they can because they're dealing with the tyranny of the moment. They are being beaten down by crisis after crisis in their lives, and they cannot see for the life of them the horizon because they're just dealing with everything they're dealing with. And at the end of this entire thing, we will have asked that same question, what do you need? And they will tell you, my family, we would love to be in a single family home or a safe apartment. And this side of town, I'd like to have a career that involves sales because I really like working with people, or I'd like to be a teacher, or it's not about a job, it's about a career now. And they have a totally different perspective. The crises are still there in their life, but they have now begun to understand how to cope and how to deal with these issues. And then we're going to be in a position then to help them realize their future story. And I'll give you a quick example. The research basis is out there. It's been implemented in hundreds of communities around the country. But we had a program for several years that was very effective with homeless families. where the shelter, if a family showed up at the shelter, they separate men from the women. They separate kids from their parents sometimes. And what we were very effective at was this issue of we will find a home for the homeless family, keeping them intact.
Wow.
Now, the value proposition was that we won't only do that. We will actually get them into our self-sufficiency program so that this will be prevented in the future. This won't happen again to them.
Yeah.
The reality was we would solve 100% of their problems regarding the housing, but literally only 3% of them we could get enrolled in the self-sufficiency program to help prevent this. Because once the crisis is taken over and taken care of, they're now moving on to deal with the next crisis.
Hmm.
We had the first two classes of our Getting Ahead program, and we had 65% of those people coming out of Getting Ahead moving into our self-sufficiency program, 3% to 65%. And that's because now they're mentally prepared for what the steps would be necessary for them to make that transformation. And that number would have been higher, but we had about 12% of those folks who actually got jobs while they were in the Getting Ahead program, making them income ineligible for the program, which is exactly what we're trying to do to begin with. And so 75% success rate, going from 3% to 75% success rate. And it's phenomenal. I mean, we were just looking at our numbers in Jefferson County, for example. Mm-hmm. First class, we had three people from Jefferson County in that class. Those three people now have never come back to us for services. They are income ineligible. They've got jobs. They've got a career. They're moving forward. The next class, we had six people out of Jefferson County in that class. Six of those people are independent, on their own, that's not coming back. Cool. In fact, two of them come back every now and then to drop in to say, how are you doing?
Wow.
As opposed to what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And we just had graduations in Wakulla County and Jefferson County and Leon County and Calhoun and Liberty County and Gadsden County as well.
Yeah.
And we are hoping that we have we've done a good job of preparing them for what's going to take what be necessary for those next steps.
Yeah.
And we're doing open enrollment right now because we will be kicking off our new program. The next wave of classes will start actually in the second week of October.
Awesome.
And so it's exciting.
What do you think when you hear people say the government has no business trying to support individuals that are just it's endemic. You know, they'll never, ever get off of the payroll, the public payroll.
I just came back, Brian, from a conference in Washington, D.C., where the purpose of the conference was to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Great Society's War on Poverty, the creation of the Department of Economic Opportunity at the time that was headed up by Sergeant Shriver under the Johnson administration. Yeah. And they showed a documentary that had been filmed in 1967 that had a then must have been a maybe a 25 or 26 year old Billy Graham, who was working in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina area of, and the Appalachians go in that direction, but it truly having a conversation with Sergeant Shriver with these exact same questions in 1967. You know, what about the people that just keep coming back? What about the folks who won't apply themselves? What about the – and those issues have been with us this entire time.
Yeah.
And it just looks more and more challenging if you think we constantly are going to face with it. But the reality is that there are great programs that government can provide that can help a person develop.
Yeah.
And just public education is probably the easiest one to identify. And so for other folks, there might be a little bit of extra effort that's necessary. And if the program is designed so that the person can develop themselves, you know, it's not giving the person the fish, it's teaching the person to fish.
Yeah.
If we can get to that stage, I think you find a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
From the resource community and the unresourced community, because that's the American dream, right? Our own personal efforts and hard work and a little bit of help from friends will help us, will enable us all to succeed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really where it gets to. And the issue of the arguments of government, this is not government's role.
Huh.
you know, that's a good conversation to have. The problem is we don't have these conversations very often.
No.
And groups
or
like,
when we do, we're not really listening. We're just shouting at each other.
Yeah. It's a very interesting.
Well, and of course, the Ken Burns PBS series is in play this week. So any of us who have been watching the Roosevelts.
Loving it.
Yeah. Learning a lot about progressive thinking. Teddy Roosevelt, probably the biggest champion of that, who said, you know, I'm all about action. And they were all that way. All three of these people realized you can talk all you want to, but let's get moving.
Yeah.
Maybe Eleanor the most dynamic in that respect. We're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency in Tallahassee. Did I do that right?
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. A mouthful. And a very interesting acronym, but the point is, this is a bureau or an agency that grew out of the whole efforts made back in the mid-60s. Yep. The Great Society, the War on Poverty, the Johnson administration, and here we are some, I don't know, 50 or better years later, yeah, trying to implement that. You got involved as the director and said, okay, well, how do we intervene in a very practical, very specific way, and let's produce some outcome here that we can step back and go, is this really working? Well, gosh, it has. It is working. And when I think of that, you know, it reminds me, and you may know this young lady, Aretha Jones. Hmm. She is the director of the community, or I guess it's called the Neighborhood Health Centers. There are 7 clinics, okay, 4 in Leon County, 3 in Gadsden County, Havana particularly. Get this. Aretha Jones grew up in Havana picking peas for her grandmother, who lived in a very impoverished situation, not unlike most of her friends and neighbors, who went to school saying to her grandmother, "How come all the other kids have all these things and I don't? How come all of our friends and neighbors live in little tiny shacks with dirt floors?"
Yeah.
This was her world. So when she's in high school, she resolves, I'm going to do something with myself. Her then boyfriend, soon to be fiance, they get married. He joins the Air Force. They travel the world. And when it comes time for them to settle and raise a family, they both decide to come back to their home in Gadsden County. Puts herself through school, gets her master's in nursing, and now she's the executive director. And her mission is to build these facilities and provide these services aimed at homeless and impoverished people.
Phenomenal.
That's it is incredible. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Our own Mother Teresa at this point.
Absolutely right. Gwen Robinson, who's the director for Gadsden Arts Center over there in Quincy. Mm-hmm. We talked about how do you liberate people from the slave mentality. You know, we talk about slavery in its history. 150 years ago, Leon County, 75% of the population was enslaved.
Mm. Wow.
51% of Gaston County was enslaved.
Wow.
It's not a long time ago.
Right.
what's insidious is the mindset.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talk about this particular program, and it's just one program,
yeah,
you've targeted, you've zeroed in on that slavery of the mind that says, Brian, you can do differently. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live this way, and we'll help you get there.
Yeah, you know, helping people understand a different paradigm is possible is perhaps one of the greatest things you can do for a person. And my wife and I, when our daughter was 3 years old, we asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, literally, in her entire worldview as a three-year-old child, she pondered as she looked at the ceiling for a moment and said, a brand new pencil, with a big smile on her face. And we looked at each other like, oh my gosh, you know, are we depriving our child of resources? And, you know, that's what she wanted. And so she got plenty of them for that Christmas. But when she was 4 years old, we asked her the same question, and she said, I would like an iPod Touch. and her worldview, her perspective in life had changed, and we exposed her to a lot. And to enable her to understand there could be more.
Her expectations.
Right, yeah. Could be broadened. Now, for many of folks, they only know so much, right? And they've only seen so much, and they understand that's how life works. And so, therefore, they don't think about what the difference is. And going back to that tyranny of the moment, they can't see the horizon for the waves that keep pushing them and pounding them back onto the surf and onto the sand, because they can't get above it all. So that issue of you know, for her to have that self-awareness, which is really what we're helping. We're creating self-awareness. We're empowering people to understand this is their life. These are their decisions. Letting them understand they can take personal responsibility for what's going on. And also at the same time explaining to them, you know, society's got some weird rules out there in a variety of different things, socioeconomic class and clubs and organizations and middle class values versus poverty values. Mm. And here's how life kind of works a little bit more, things that we kind of take for granted.
Yeah.
But somebody had to teach us which spoon and fork to use at the fancy restaurant, you know, and when you begin to learn these things, getting ahead is not about etiquette, but just as an analogy there.
Right, right.
But the idea is, you know, giving people the resources to understand what's going on enables them to, a year later, or in this case, you know, 16 weeks later, say, you know, I'd like a career. I'd like a job. I'd like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, and I find that interesting, too, in as much as you've said this, a big part of what you do is to help folks better understand, and maybe for the first time, embrace the rules that govern, we'll call it white-collar work versus blue collar work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go out, I dig a ditch. You told me to dig the ditch. I did it. And now you want me to dig it again. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But in a professional setting, in an office setting, in a business setting where I've been asked to write a memo or some sort of document I needed to compose, it's subject to review and editing. So then for that individual who's not used to that sort of scrutiny,
right,
they have to realize that's just part of how it works.
This is how life is. And they don't want to be disrespected or felt like they're being disrespected, because it's to them, it's the only thing they've got going for them. And so if you take the time to go through that and explain to them why certain typos can't be permitted to leave the office on a thing, and they begin to understand, they begin to be very respected.
Yeah.
They get to buy in. They get to feel like they're part of the organization. And all of a sudden, you've got probably a win-win situation.
You know, in our business, we find it remarkable that the interns who work with us, granted, they are students, but one of the biggest challenges we find is in helping them create and compose and assemble. And in a marketing agency like ours, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And they find it a bit, uncomfortable. And I suppose none of us really like it, but I noticed that if we evaluate the work they've turned out and we ask for another revision, and it may be three or four revisions,
they don't like it. They want to be able to turn something out and say, hey, I did it. What's the problem?
Right.
And move on.
Right. And yeah, it's one of my favorite lines, of course, is I would have written, I would have been more brief if I had had more time.
Exactly. Right.
The one of my favorite on that, and I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but Kissinger was evidently an amazing editor. And he had, there was a young analyst who wrote a paper for him.
Yeah.
And gave it to him to review. He gets it back the next day from Kissinger with just the simple note across it. Is this the best you can do? And the guy looks back, re-edits it, reworks it, brings it back to him. Next day, gets it back from Kissinger. Is this the best you can do? And then finally hand delivers it to Kissinger. And Kissinger just looks at it and goes, is this the best you can do? And the guy says, yeah. He goes, good, I'll read it now. So that opportunity to you can appreciate that a lot of folks, you know, that initial effort is probably not exactly the best product.
Well, we're having fun here. We're talking with Tim Center. He's the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. This is an organization devoted to lifting us up, lifting up people, helping them acquire a better place in the economic world as well as among us in this community, and we are pleased to have him with us. You stay right where you are. We've got a great show here lined up. Tim's going to stay with us through the hour. You stay right where you are. Want to remind you that because of our wonderful sponsors, we are able to bring you this radio show every Saturday morning right here at 93.3 FM, including folks like Tommy T's there in Midtown. So stop in this week at Tommy T's Mighty Lube, get your oil changed, and tell them you heard it on Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
We are back and talking about Capital Area Community Action Agency, and Tim Center has joined us, their executive director. How long have you been with this organization now?
I was just thinking about it the other day. It's coming up on basically 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I started formally as the executive director on June 1 of 2012.
Yeah.
And it's been I came in at about the same time that Mark Baldino came in at Eldercare.
Yeah.
Mark's doing tremendous work over there. And I am trying to just hold on to his.
Trying to be like Mark when you grow up.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know,
I have several people like that in my life.
He's so impressive. And there's so much good work being done by so many different agencies. You know, the amazing thing is that for the first year or so, we really try to, in this agency, with my team, who are phenomenal people who care so much about the population that we're working with, trying to make sure we're delivering a good product, right? For the customer, which is the federal government that technically funds us. That's our customer, because your customer is who pays you.
Yeah.
We are trying very hard to deliver a very good product to that customer. And our product is the folks that we work with.
Yeah.
The reality is that after we got those programs and we get those systems aligned properly, it's at that time that we do these kind of conversations where we go out and we start talking to people. So just yesterday with the Bradfordville Kiwanis Club, I'm sitting with a group of folks from different walks of life, all middle class, if not better. And we were having a conversation about poverty, people that couldn't probably afford to be in that restaurant, people that might do certain services for the people in that room, but it's a topic that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And that's really where we need to be now. We now need to be.
Why don't we talk about it?
One, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk about them, How do we help them? And also because the issues have become so politicized that the only way that we talk about how do you help them is by destroying us. How do you help the resourced without destroying the – how do you help the unresourced without destroying the resourced?
So we're talking about redistribution.
Well, I think that's what we automatically think is going to be the case.
Yeah.
And even Paul Ryan, who is has a new book out that talks specifically about welfare reform and what's the right way of doing this? He admits that at the beginning he used to talk about makers and takers.
Yeah.
And somebody came up and said, who's a taker? Is that a veteran who comes back and gets benefits? Is it the senior who's paid into Social Security who wants to get that? Is it the person who needs to get disability? Mm. And the reality is he had it all wrong. He realized that. And so I think we have these conversations more than I think we're better able to understand how we can help. I do want to say one other really big thing and why I think the conversation becomes so critical. If 22% of our population is living in poverty, 19,000 for a family of three, that's that's a quarter of your population. All right, well, I can probably live with that.
Yeah.
There is, a different group that's right above that line, and that group is called, we would probably call them the working poor. Even the people in poverty, 60% of them have had a job at some point in the past year. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to figure out how to get by. But there's another group of the working poor. A lot of us are probably in that. That's the person who is living paycheck to paycheck. It's the person who is asset limited, AL, income constrained. So their job is not paying very much. Employed, or ALICE is the acronym for this population.
Mm-hmm.
When you take and you add that population to that 22% of our population living in poverty, you're going to be up to about 45% total of the population.
Nearly half.
Nearly half. And when that immediately puts us in, we're a 50-50 country at this point in dealing with the issues of the haves and the have-nots. And therefore, the haves, the conversation, worried about that, how do you help them without destroying the haves, the conversation becomes, why is this now important to me? Well, it's because these are your neighbors. We are only as strong as the weakest amongst us. And if we want to have a really healthy economy, if we want to have more clients for your marketing firm, if we want to have more customers in the bank, if we want to have people that can afford to go into a restaurant and have a sandwich, it's in our best interest to get these people into the economy and let them become contributing members of society.
It seems to me, too, that the work you're doing isn't crisis oriented. You know, we have had those periods in our history, the Great Depression, even in our time, the Great Recession, I suppose it's been dubbed, in which government steps up in a manner that is intervening, is very directed and very focused on putting out the fire, right?
You're stemming the tide. You're
right.
The finger in the dike.
But that's not your role here. It seems to me this is an ongoing effort that is really about reshaping and opening up past those crisis moments, we'll call it culturally or economically at large, and then targeting specifically within this ALICE group, the working poor, and saying, how do you better yourself? How do you move into a place where those things that you can't do because you're so strapped are now better available to you, huh?
Yeah, I wish that was the case, Brian. I wish we were really only known for that, the back end thing of helping lift people out. The reality is that with $9 million of operational funding covering Jefferson County all the way over to Gulf County, we're serving 13 to 14,000 people annually with that crisis moment. That moment where can't pay their light bill, and they're going to come in and we're going to cover that expense for them. And that's great. We're able to help in that crisis, but
you bound to that as well.
Well, it's in that moment of crisis that hopefully if we can stabilize them enough, we are then permitted to then talk to them about getting ahead. Mm-hmm. And are you interested in this? The greatest thing is right now, Brian, we put the Getting Ahead workbook on our desks. Our staff desks. So people are sitting there, and while they're sitting there, we've had clients who just pick the book up and they go, what is this? Tell me about this. They'll flip through and we kind of explain it to them and go, I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big, a bailout program where we're paying people and everything like that, and we're offering to pay the rent and all this stuff to be in the Getting Ahead program. It's like, here, this is what this program does for you.
There is a promise there.
What you get out of this, and people, you know, it's nice to see. It's not for everybody in crisis, right? Some people in crisis can't ever get out of crisis. They can't even understand and fathom what that would be.
But I really wanted to get at some of your perspective, too, on where we are going nationally, and we've been beset with the tragedies going on in places like Ferguson, and thinking about some of the racial tensions that seem to continue to plague us. What's your take on that?
We're even in our own community right now, there have been tremendous conversations about the issue of gun violence in Tallahassee. There's conversations, I'm sure, either directly stated or indirectly implying that race is perhaps an issue, much like Ferguson became an issue of race, it seems like, and that's really what flared up. And again, these are very difficult conversations to have. And we are hoping that, I know from my perspective, is I hope that our leaders, both civic and elected, will choose to hopefully engage the community in a meaningful manner that permits us to avoid what happened in Ferguson in terms of the riots and things in a constructive way. They have an entire effort right now looking at the issues of gun violence and the violent ratio of what we have right now in Tallahassee, second only to Miami, evidently, according to some statistics. And I'm glad to see that there are people in the faith community and civic leaders and elected officials and you that you're inclined to begin participating and talking.
A very helpful conversation. Tim Center, the Executive Director for Capital Area Community Action Agency, our guest this morning. Thank you, Mr. Center, for being with us.
Brian, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, that's what I have for you today, my friend. Glad you had a chance to be a part of it. We'll be looking for you again next week. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you, so come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.